Good morning, everybody. My accent is because I'm half French, half Spanish. My accent is Spanish, really, but I've been living in England now for nearly 27 years, and I received the Lord, it's going to be nearly 26 years ago here in England, so I'm really privileged to be here. And first of all, I wanted to really thank Pastor Gideon and Pastor Irene for inviting me to share with you. It's an honor and a privilege to be here. So thank you very much. Okay, so I'm just going to quickly pray. Father God, I just thank you for this opportunity, Father, to use me as your messenger to speak to your people, Lord God. I just thank you, Father, for the word that you pressed on my heart. And I just want to thank you for your love for each one of the people that are here, Lord God. I want to thank you, Father, that you love them so much and that you really care for them, that you want to better them, Lord God. I just want to thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness, Lord God. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you come and fill me so that I will not speak any word of my own, Lord God, but everything that I say will be through you, because of you, and it's you who says it. I pray, Father God, that will fade in the background, Lord God, and that you will take center stage, because it's all about you, and it's all about what you want to say, Lord God. I pray, Father God, that every word that you speak to us today, Lord God, will fall in fertile ground and will bear much fruit for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so when I asked the Lord what he wanted me to share, he really pressed on my heart a sentence. He just said to me, there must be more than this, okay? And when I look at the Bible, when I read the Bible, when I think about God, how awesome, how big he is, how powerful, how mighty, the things that he did in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, the things that I hear he's doing through other Christians in the world, you know, I just think to myself, there must be more than this, than what I'm living right now. So, you know, Jesus, in Matthew 19, verse 6, he said to his disciples, with men, this, talking about salvation, is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So when I read that, all things are possible, I'm thinking, I'm not seeing this, I'm not living this, I'm not experiencing this. And obviously, there's nothing wrong with God, because God is truth, and God speaks the truth, and you know, there's no lie in him. So I'm thinking to myself, then the problem must be in me. It's not in God. Sometimes we can get quite upset with God. Oh, God, you are not doing it. You are not doing it, you know. But he says that with God, all things are possible. So I really felt the Lord wanting to encourage you today. He really wants to encourage you. And he wants to encourage you in becoming more hungry, okay. When we are satisfied, we don't want more, and God wants us to want more. If we don't want more, we will not get more. Okay, so we need to accept that some of us maybe are satisfied with our lot, you know, and that's why there's no more. And we're quite happy. When we are full and satisfied, we don't desire anymore. But God wants us to desire more. Some of us might be disheartened or disappointed, and God wants to encourage you to keep pressing on, that there is more, that there is more, okay? Now, the question is, are you satisfied with your life? And when I said life, I'm not talking about your Christian life. I'm not talking about only about the coming to church, going to small groups, worshiping God, praying, evangelizing. I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about everyday life as well, you know? What is going on through the week, going to work, paying the bills, looking after your husband, looking after your children, looking after your home, relationships. Are you satisfied with your whole life? You know, because a lot of the time we separate the two. We separate the walking with the Lord and our everyday life. But our whole lives should be intertwined with our walk with God. And every day we are walking with God. When you're going to work, you are walking with God. When you are with your friends, you are walking with God. When you are actually working with someone who is irritating you, you are walking with God. all the time you're walking with God. When you go and pay your bills, you are walking with God. When you're going to spend the money in the shops, you are walking with God. When you are looking after your children, or you are rebuking them, or you are encouraging, you are walking with God. You are constantly walking with God. Okay. When I first became a Christian, I just wanted to do what the disciples did, and actually was really like thinking, you know, I don't think that living for God is paying my bills, studying, going to work. I just thought that I wasn't really serving God. But then the Lord led me to 1 Corinthians 10:31. And 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Okay? So whatever you're doing, you do it for the glory of God. And this puts it really into perspective, you know, that everything that we do it for the glory of God. How can we do it to the glory of God? We cannot do it all by ourselves. So the question is, how powerfully are you living your life? You know, are you victorious in your life? God wants us to want more. He wants us to want more. I wouldn't expect anybody to say, oh yeah, I'm very happy how powerfully I'm living my life, how victorious I am in my life. I wouldn't expect anyone to say that, because God wants more. And he wants us to want more. I think that's the only time where we can be greedy and selfish, when we want more of God in our lives. There shouldn't be any limit and any barriers. You know, we shouldn't be thinking, well, I'm being really greedy here because I really want more of God in my life, or I want victory in this area, or I want this breakthrough, or I want to evangelize or witness more powerfully, or I really want to convince people and persuade people to receive Christ. You know, we shouldn't be feeling like, oh, I'm being really greedy. It's okay. It's okay to be greedy when it comes to that. Okay? You know, God wants us to need him and to rely on him. He wants that. Now, at one point in my Christian life, I really thought, wow, you know, God must really need for us to feed his ego. Like, he's having an ego trip about, like, us needing him and having to rely on him. But at the end of the day, as compared to God, right, we are so small, we are so little, very, very little. And, you know, God is so much bigger. And that's why we need him. And, you know, he wants to be glorified, but that's because he is God. He, you know, we cannot add more to God. We can't. He is who he is. And whatever God wants for us, it is better for us as well. Now, when Jesus was on the earth, he paid taxes. You know, he told the disciples to go and get the coin from the fish. He walked to places. He worked as a carpenter at some point. He fed people. He grieved the loss of those who were close to him, whom he loved. He learned as a child, as a young adult. He had to obey his parents. And then when he was older, and during his ministry, he did all the other things like healing and deliver people. And he preached the gospel. And he encouraged, he rebuked the religious leaders. And he did all that in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, before we know, maybe Jesus didn't like carpentry. Maybe he didn't like doing it, you know. But I'm pretty sure that Jesus did a good job, and he did it with the right attitude, you know. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit in him. Jesus needed the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in us. So that means that Jesus needed the Holy Spirit to be raised again. So if Jesus needs the Holy Spirit, how much more us? How much more us? We really need the Holy Spirit. I'm just really trying to encourage you to realize how much you need the Holy Spirit and to get you hungry for the Holy Spirit. The early church was made up by common people, people like us. And look all that they did. All that they did. You know, they lived victoriously, even unto death. Even in death, they were victorious. Some of them, the way they did, if you think about Stephen, we'll look at it later, you know. They lived victoriously. They died victoriously as well. Why? Because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the Lord hasn't got no favorites. So whatever he did in them and through them, he can do it in us and through us. We're not different. Not different at all. Okay, so if we look at 1 John 14. Okay, John 14, 16 to 17 says, Jesus speaking, talking to his disciple, he says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, in the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Now, Jesus was telling his disciples that the Holy Spirit will be in them. Until then, he was among them, but he would be in them. And the same promise that he gave to his disciples, he gave to us as well. And not only that, like he says, a helper that would abide with them forever. I mean, isn't it amazing? We've got a helper that is with us all the time. Not for certain things, all the time. Every time you're struggling, every time you don't know what to do, every time that you're hurting, you don't know where to turn, where to go, how to pray, you know, how to continue. You've got a helper. You have got a helper. Okay? Now, if we turn to John 16, verse 13, Jesus is speaking again. John 16, verse 13. Jesus said to his disciples, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." Now, don't you want to hear things to come? Don't you want to hear the Holy Spirit telling you things that are going to happen? Right? That would be an amazing thing, isn't it? Right? I mean, it says that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, right? So the Holy Spirit guides us in all truth. Don't you want to be in the truth? The greatest changes that happened in my life started when I decided to start living in the truth and stop living in deception, in a fantasy, just because I was trying to avoid pain, right? A lot of the time, we don't want to hear the truth, and we don't want the Holy Spirit to tell us the truth because it's going to be painful. There's a very good book that my husband and me read when we first became a Christian, written by Jamie Buckingham, and it was titled, "The Truth Will Set You Free, But Will Make You Miserable First." Okay? And it's true. It's true. You know, when the Holy Spirit tells us the truth, whether it's through our brother, our spouse, even a child, a colleague at work, whatever situation, it's always painful. I will always remember about 2 years ago, the Lord pointed something in me that obviously wasn't nice. And I got really upset. And when I'm upset, I just like to get active. So I got my hoover and I was hoovering. And I was like, oh, you know. And I started talking to God. And I said to God, "Oh, you always have to point everything that's wrong in me, isn't it? I know I'm not perfect. You don't have to keep pointing to me. It's easy for you. You are perfect, but I'm not. And I don't really like it when you keep telling me what I'm doing wrong. It doesn't make me feel good. I mean, what am I supposed to do? There's nothing I can do about it, can I?" And then I stopped and I was carrying on hovering. And the Holy Spirit just very gently, you know, he said to me, you know, "I am not your father," right? My dad used to always tell me what I did wrong. Even when I came home with my grades, I would be all happy. "Look, I've been proving that, Daddy." And you're like, "Yeah, but you haven't done as well on that one." You know, it was no matter what I did, it was never to his standard. It was very, very difficult. And I was seeing God as my dad. And then God said to me, "Mara, the difference between me and your dad is that I'm showing it to you to change you. And of course, you cannot do nothing about it. You just need to recognize it, pray to me, and allow me to change you." You know, Satan wants us to be scared to accept the wrong that is in us. Satan doesn't want to. Why? Because then we will go to God and God will change us. We don't have to change it. We don't do it in our own strength. It's him who does it. The best jobs in our lives is when we actually surrender to God and we say to God, "I messed up," or "I don't like this that I see in myself. Please change me. I'm fed up of being like this. I don't want to be like this anymore. Please change me." And then the Holy Spirit starts changing you. And actually, what you thought was going to be hard work and painful is not. And suddenly you wake up and, wow, it's gone. That feeling is gone, or that attitude is gone, or that problem that I had is gone. And I didn't do it. And I start giving God the glory. And it's the same for all of us. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. So, like I was saying, the greatest changes took place when I started wanting to live in the truth. But how do we know the truth? How do you know when you are walking in truth, when you are believing the truth, when you are understanding the truth, when you are being in the truth. How do you know that? This same by D.L. Moody that he says, how do you know if a stick is crooked? You put it alongside a straight one, and by comparing them, you will see how crooked it is. We do the same thing with the Word of God, right? How do we know how crooked or how untruthful our lives are or our thoughts are, right? Or our relationships, our attitudes are, whatever it is. How do we know it? By comparing it with the Word of God, with the help of the Holy Spirit. If you read the Word without the help of the Holy Spirit, you're going to interpret it the way you want to interpret it. So you need to go and read the Word of God with the help of the Holy Spirit. When I first became a Christian, that's what I was doing. I really wanted to understand it. So I always used to say to the Holy Spirit, just show me. What does that mean? You know, the disciples were not worried to keep questioning Jesus, even when they made a fool of themselves and Jesus had to rebuke them, you know? They didn't. They had a hunger. They wanted to learn. They didn't want to stay where they were. They were seeing Jesus, and they wanted to keep walking with him, you know? And we should be the same. We should never be feeling bad about asking. I don't understand that. What does that mean? I mean, sometimes I came across passages in the Bible where I don't understand that and just forget about it, you know? It's not right. Other times, I was like, Lord, I don't understand that. Show me. Why is that? Why is that? Sometimes it took maybe a year, 2 years before I could fully understand it and God revealed it to me. You know, but we mustn't just think, well, I don't understand that, or it's too complicated for me, or that's for scholars or whatever. That's just the Word of God for each one of us. And the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you, but you need to keep asking him, okay? And the only way you're going to know if you're walking right or being right is by looking in the Bible. Romans 8:11. That's the scripture that says that the same Spirit who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in us. Right? Jesus needs the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. Okay? Holy Spirit to read the Word of God and to ask him to change us. Now, the greatest change that took place in the lives of the disciples was caused by the infilling of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. You know, in Acts 2, verse 4, it says that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Before Pentecost, there was nothing. The disciples were not able to do what they did afterwards. That's what the big change was. Now, what does it mean to fill? Now, if you look in the dictionary, it actually says that it means to put something into a container. For example, to capacity or to a desired level, to supply or provide to the fullest extent. Now, to me personally, when I think about, if I say to someone, oh, go and fill that jug of water, I expect the jug to come back filled to the top. I don't really think that on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit just filled them halfway, one third. He filled them completely. And that's what they were able to do, what they did. Right? The problem is that a lot of the time, when we come for prayer or even at home, you can ask the Holy Spirit to fill you anywhere. And you ask the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is filling you, and then you go, oh, no more. You are actually setting the bar to which level you are being filled. Whether it's because of fear, because Satan likes to lie, like he lies to us, saying, oh, it's going to be scary, it's going to be bad, you're going to have to give up things, you're not going to be able to do that anymore, or he might send you to a place you don't want to be sent, or do something you don't really want to do, and Satan puts all these fears on us, or maybe feelings that you start having, you feel out of control. You know what, we need to give our control to the Holy Spirit like we sang, so you will feel out of control, because you are no longer in control. The Holy Spirit is in control now, but Satan likes to tell us that. Because then we will say, stop, Holy Spirit, I can't take you no more. Don't feel me anymore. Why? Because then you won't be able to do what the Holy Spirit wants to do through you. You know what I mean? Or it'll be half done. It won't be to the fullest capacity that the Holy Spirit wants to do it. Okay? So the thematic Bible actually says that to be filled with the Holy Spirit means to be energized and controlled by the third person of the Godhead in such a way that under the knowledge lordship of Jesus Christ, the full presence and power of God are experienced. Now, we have to be truthful with ourselves. Are we really experiencing the full power and presence of God in our lives? Sometimes we might think that we do, but is it all the time? Are we in, out, constantly? You know, the Holy Spirit leads to renewal, obedience, boldness in testimony, etc. The Bible says that he would give us the will to obey him. We don't obey him because we want to. The Holy Spirit has deposited that in us. And if we struggle with obeying the word of God, just ask the Holy Spirit to fill you more and to give you more desire to follow after God. You know? Now, this is a little list that I've compiled from the Bible of things that the Holy Spirit does. Mom, we're not going to go through each one of them. I just wanted to give you a little taster of what the Holy Spirit is able to do. Now, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit knows all things, has infinite power, creates, he was a creation, gives life, is wise, teaches, leads, instructs, testifies, intercedes, warns, convicts, speaks, hears, calls out, anoints, equips, empowers, gives spiritual gifts, prompts prophecy and visions, gives direction, encourages, empowers us to witness, sanctifies, seals God's people, brings blessings and fellowship. If you are lonely, ask the Holy Spirit to keep you company. He is a very good companion. Brings freedom and peace, brings life, gives victory, restrains. We need to be restrained many times, and the Holy Spirit does that as well. Counsels, comforts, strengthens, heals, draws people closer to Jesus, gives signs and wonders, inspires praise, enables us to address God as our Father, prompts applications, inspires prayers and praying in tongues, sends God's messengers, gives power to preach, and inspires the writers of the Bible. Now, the Holy Spirit is like having Jesus next to you. You just can't see it. Now, when I was a young Christian, I used to read the Bible. I wish Jesus was just next to me telling me what to do. And Jesus is like, duh, I send the Holy Spirit. He's there. You can't see him, but he's just there with you everywhere. I couldn't take Jesus. Do you imagine going to work with Jesus with you? People would think, who is he? You know what I mean? You couldn't do that, could you, really? Do you know what I mean? So, but you've got the Holy Spirit. The world can't see him. The world can't see him. But we know he's there with us. He is. And we need to take him with us. We need to invite them. Okay? Now, obviously, like I say, it's like having Jesus next to us all the time. But what do we do with him? Do we ignore him? Do we reject him? Do we say, shh, later? You know? I mean, how many of us have been rejected? I think everybody knows the pain of rejection, you know. And sometimes I think, how many times do I cause that same pain to the Holy Spirit when I reject him? When maybe I'm watching a TV program, he's saying, come and spend time with me. Come and read the word. Come and, you know, come and worship me. At the end of the day, the one who's missing out is myself, because I don't really know. A lot of the time, because we don't know what the Holy Spirit would do or would say, we don't feel like we are missing out, but we are. We are missing out. You don't really know what key the Holy Spirit would give you right there for a problem or a situation or something that's going to come in a minute that you might need to be equipped, you know? And he was actually able to preach the gospel when he was arrested for blasphemy, which was not true, right? And he was able to say the following while he was being stoned to death. In Acts 7, verse 59-60, he says, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And we have said this, he fell asleep. Now, the Holy Spirit will cause you to forgive what you think is unforgivable. Okay? Do you imagine being stoned to death and being able to say that? Right? Imagine. Now, Jesus did the same at the cross. He said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they are doing. I mean, Jesus could have called onto the armies of angels to, like, slaughter everyone that was trying to kill him. He could have done that. But instead, he said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they are doing. Now, with Stephen, it's quite funny because Saul, who was to be Paul, was there present. Imagine if Stephen hadn't said that, maybe God would have held Saul accountable for the death of Stephen and Saul would not have become Paul. Who knows? Who knows? You know, so we don't really know how far our obedience to the Holy Spirit can go. What other lives it can touch. What doors it can unlock. Now, another thing is that the Holy Spirit produces fruit in us. Christ's character in us. In Galatians 5, 22-23, it says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such there is no law. When we ask the Holy Spirit to fill us, He fills us. And we, whatever is already inside of us, which is our old self or our own flesh, gets more and more diluted. So then we start producing more and more of the fruit of the Spirit. When you first become a Christian, you don't produce much of the fruit of the Spirit. It's all very mixed with your old self, you know. But as you keep asking the Holy Spirit to fill you and to fill you and to fill you, whatever is inside you gets diluted and you produce more of the Holy Spirit. Whatever you do is flavored with the fruit of the Spirit, right? So whether you are, you know, working with your children, your attitude will be right. You'll have patience, right? Yeah? Yeah? When you're going to work and you've got that annoying member of the staff that keeps on and on at you, you find yourself with long suffering, right? Persevering. Yeah. When somebody jumps the queue when you're shopping, you know, because you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, you are good to that person. Yeah, go ahead, you know. And let another person go in front of you as well. Do you know what I mean? That we, whatever we do, we'll do it with the right attitude. It's no longer what we do, but how we do it. Has it got the flavor, the smell of Christ, you know? Now, I brought a little visual. I'm going to need help because I've got a handheld mic. Do you mind? Okay. So, this is the Holy Spirit, okay? Just pretend. Okay, and this is us. This is us, okay? This is us with our old self. And then we are praying, Holy Spirit, fill us. And we keep asking the Holy Spirit to fill us. And as He keeps filling us, yeah? As He keeps filling us, what is happening? It's overflowing, but look at the color. The color inside is getting clearer and clearer and clearer because it's being more and more diluted, okay? Until eventually, what's inside is just water, okay? Now, God asked me to do this because He wants you to remind you of that. When you start seeing gunk coming out of you, wrong attitudes, disobedience, right, fed upness, whatever, you know, remember that you, here, thank you. You ask the Holy Spirit to fill you, and that's what will take place, right? He's asking. When you see something wrong in you, Satan wants to make you feel condemned, and he wants to make you feel like, oh, I'm such a horrible person, and how is God going to use me, and make you ineffective. How can I pray for healing when I have done this or I have this wrong attitude? He's such a liar, right? Because the only thing we need to do, he said, Lord, forgive me. Holy Spirit, fill me more. I need more. This just shows me that I need you more. Instead of saying, I'm not worthy of the Holy Spirit because of what I've done. No, we say, I need you more. I need you more. I need you more, Lord. This just proves me that I need more of God. You see how quickly Satan runs. Right? Because he doesn't want you to have more of the Holy Spirit. His tactic will not work. So remember the glass of milk and water and keep asking the Lord to fill you. Now, this process takes time, obviously. You have to keep asking the Holy Spirit to fill you and fill you and fill you. But it's a process. We will never be perfect. I struggled with that for a long time. I wanted to be perfect for God. I wanted to offer it to God. And I was doing it in my own strength. But the Bible says, I'm sure it's in Zechariah, it says that not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And I was trying to do it all by myself. I was trying to present myself. The Bible says that Jesus presents us. It's His blood that makes us clean, not ourselves. Now, I really believe that's why we got 1 John 1:9 in the Bible. Because it says that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you just confess it, ask the Holy Spirit to fill you up, stand up and keep marching. You know, you don't have to cry. You don't have to make apologies. You don't have to make excuses. Just take it in the chin. This is what I've done. I'm not happy with it. I'm really sorry, Lord. Change me. I don't want to be like that anymore. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. And just get up and keep going. Keep marching. Now, there's lots of times I ask the Holy Spirit to flash things out of me. And I really had that vision that when I ask the Holy Spirit to fill me, he's actually flashing things out of me. Sometimes he shows me the wrong stuff in me that I have to renounce or give up. But other times, I just ask the Holy Spirit to fill me. And a few days later, I realize, or a month later, that wrong attitude is gone or that problem is gone. Ephesians 5:8 says that he encourages us to be continually filled with the Spirit. You can't just be baptized in the Holy Spirit, just that's it. Or come to church on a Sunday and ask the Holy Spirit to fill you and that's it. Continually, you need to keep asking the Holy Spirit to continually fill you. Now, as we start wanting more and more, are we starting to wanting more of the Holy Spirit? That is what the Lord wants. He wants you all to want more, to be hungry. If you are not hungry, you're not going to want more. If you're not hungry, then that means that you're full of something else. Because when we are full of the Holy Spirit, we want more. We do want more, right? You are dissatisfied. So if you feel that you're satisfied and you don't want more, then you are filled with something else that is not from the Lord. You know, it could be your own flesh, your own desires, and you need to ask the Holy Spirit to show you what you need to empty yourself of to be filled with the Holy Spirit. As Christians, we should be desiring more continuously. We should desire more of the Holy Spirit, more understanding, more of the character of Christ in us, more salvations, more disciples, more miracles, more deliverance, more breakthroughs, more answers to prayers, more victories. In 1 Corinthians 2:9 to 10, we read, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ears heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him," which is Isaiah 64:4. "But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." With God, there's always room for more. Always. You will never be able to say, "I have arrived. I know it all. I've experienced it all." Never. Never. And you know what? Some years ago, we used to sing a song, "All I Want to Do Is Be Close to You." And I couldn't sing that because, I'm making myself vulnerable here, but I'm sure we all gone through a stage like that, so it's okay. But I was scared of being close to Jesus. I didn't have that desire. The desire was numb. There's nothing there. And then I start singing, "I want to be close to you." And God said to me, "You know what, Mara, I can work with that." You know, even if you don't want something of God, or you don't want more of God, just said, "I want it." Because the Bible says that he will give us the will and the desires to obey him, right? He will. So you just ask him, "I want it. I want it." It's just being honest with ourselves, isn't it? Now, what I come to realize is that God always chooses those who don't know how to do something, right? If you can do something naturally, then you don't need the Holy Spirit, right? So don't feel bad when you feel that God is asking you to do something that you're feeling completely incapable of doing, because that's when God is going to do it through you. If I can't do it, then I'm doing it in my own strength. You know, my husband, Pastor Matthew, always says that, you know, David was not able to kill Goliath because he had killed the lion and the bear. Yeah? He was able to kill Goliath because he was anointed to do it. Okay? And it's the same for us. You know, don't think that you are not equipped or you're not qualified to do what God has called you to, right? Because you haven't got experience, you know, or because you don't feel capable of doing it, you don't have the natural ability, you know. It's the Holy Spirit that will enable you. You know, our confidence is in his ability, not in ours. is his ability, is the ability of the Holy Spirit. Even when you've been serving God for a long, long time, yeah, don't feel like you know it, because God might want to do it differently, right? God might want to do it differently. He might want you to do something completely different. We still need the Holy Spirit. We still need to be communing with the Holy Spirit, searching him, asking him. Now, you know, if only this is what the Lord really put on my heart as I was preparing the notes, that if we really realize how much we need the Holy Spirit, we'll be crying for it day and night. We will be crying for him day and night. We read Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 9. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands with you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good path. It says in verse 3, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, we don't really know it all. We don't. Even in our relationships, you know, you might look at someone and think, oh, why are they struggling with that? Their weakness is different to you, but we all got weaknesses. And sometimes we need the discernment of the Holy Spirit to tell us, to help us to put ourselves in their shoes, to understand. Not necessarily to like excuse sin or fall, but to give us an understanding and to then come alongside them with compassion, with grace and mercy to help them, instead of looking down on them because struggling is something that you don't struggle. We need that discernment. Are you ready to cry out for more? Are you ready to cry out for more? Smith Wigglesworth, he did a priest that we read in one of his books. And he was just like, just cried, more, healing. I mean, how many people he healed? How many people he raised from there? He still wanted more. He was not satisfied, right? He was not satisfied. Now, this next scripture is for some of us who actually have given up. We've been praying for breakthrough. We've been doing all we can for the breakthrough or whatever miracle or change in you, and you don't see how it's happening. You don't see no change whatsoever. It might have been something you've been praying for a long, long time, right? This is for you. Luke 11, verse 5 to 13. And he, Jesus, said to them, which of you shall have a friend go to him at night and say to him, friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, the correct translation of verse 9 is keep on asking, keep on knocking, and keep on seeking. It's not that you do it once and that's it. You keep doing it until it's over. Either God will say to you, like he said to the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, made perfect in weakness, right? Or eventually it will come through, Right? It'll be one of the two answers. But until you get either, you continue. You keep pressing on. We need to cry out in humility and desperation, perseverance and reverence. I really believe that in the church nowadays we lack perseverance because we live in a society where everything happens very quickly. And we lack perseverance. We need to keep on. We need to keep on. Remember that Daniel, right, when he prayed in Daniel 10, 11, 13, when Gabriel reached him, said, "Do not fear, Daniel, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the priest of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. He had to keep praying and fasting for 21 days. Although the Lord had heard his question, his prayer, from day one, from the moment he opened his mouth, 21 days. Why? Because we got an enemy. That's why we need to keep on. It's not because God is being making you wait on purpose or because he cannot do it. It's because it's an opposition. And that's why we need to keep on. We need to keep on. Even the Apostle Paul had lots of plans to visit his churches. But a lot of the time the Holy Spirit restrained him. His desire was to go, but he was restrained. We don't know why, but God knows. He does everything with a purpose. He does, and we need to trust him, okay? So this is my encouragement to you, is to be encouraged, is for you to really get hungry. You don't feel hungry, ask the Holy Spirit to make you hungry, okay? Amen.